Hello and welcome to the Extra Edge of Sports Analytics podcast powered by Connexon Sports. I'm Dave Gringinski, and today we're talking with Matt Aldred and Greg Bernstein. Matt is the assistant head coach and director of basketball performance at Furman University, the home of the Paladins, the Dins, they like to call themselves. And folks, when you crunch the numbers, no team in the Southern Conference has won more games than Furman over the past six seasons. We'll get to that. Greg is a trained data scientist who specializes in sports and performance data. He works very closely with Coach Aldred and the Furman basketball program. First of all, let me thank you both for joining us on the Extra Edge podcast.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Dave. Pleasure to be here. Looking forward to it.
So last season, a magical season, Coach. You helped the Paladins to a school record 28 wins. It results in your first NCAA tournament appearance in 43 years. And then that wasn't enough. You got to go out there as a 13th seed and knock off Virginia, the number four seed in the first round. And now this year, another winning record. You're dominating people at home. And listen to this, folks. During Aldred's 6 years with the program, Furman has posted a 129-56 overall record, which is the best of any Southern Conference schools. And I'd like to think the analytics have a little something to do with it, right? So now on this podcast, we like to talk about how coaches collect sports data and analytics and then use it to get insights and take action, or data, insights, and action. So Matt, let's start with the data. How does a soccer player from England discover the power that sports data provides basketball players and coaches?
Great question. I want to definitely preface with the winning record and stuff. We have phenomenal players, amazing coaches, as every support staff member, strength coach, athletic trainer will say. I have never played for Furman. Good that I'd haven't, because I suck. So we've had some really good players. So credit to them with that. The data piece has been huge for us the last, I think Greg and I were talking, I think maybe four seasons we've had it now, since the COVID year we first had it. And I think honestly, how I kind of came out here is fairly long-winded, but I'll say that I think the college athletic system is the best in the world in the US. And having experienced it as a D2 athlete, been at home for a couple of years as a semi-pro athlete, soccer player, I knew I wanted to get back out and work with really high-level athletes and impact kind of young men and women in their kind of college years. So kind of ended up at Furman, blessed to be here, 6 years here with an incredible coaching staff, group of players, great culture. And within that, you know, we have kind of a marginal gains approach to performance and trying to get every edge we can to improve every aspect of basketball performance. And that kind of data has been a big area of that. It's actually kind of fortunate you talked about SoCon a lot there. We saw one of our rival teams using the product a while ago and caught my head coach's eye and definitely caught my eye. So during that COVID year, I looked at three of the top companies in this space and I chose Connexon, and it's been the best decision we've made from a performance standpoint. And really kind of the soccer background now with the basketball mind I have is, you know, match day minus two, match day minus one, or Americans would say in basketball, game day minus two, game day minus one. And really then looking at the game itself and reverse engineering that and how we can use that data for preseason conditioning, for top-ups for guys that haven't been playing, and then really to optimize their performance to try and hit those right metrics when it matters, which is in the game. It's been a great journey, and I absolutely love the company, love the product, love the customer service. Greg and I have known each other a while now, so to have someone the other end of the line as a friend now is just incredible, and it's really helped our program just no end.
And so it sounds like you found data. Greg, what about you? How did you get into sports data?
That's a great question, Dave. So, I can't really remember a time or a world where I wasn't obsessed with sports. Growing up, I was playing a lot of sports, watching a lot of sports. I am from the U.S. originally, but I was fortunate enough to spend some time growing up in London, in England as well, like Matt. So I got exposed to a very wide variety of sports globally. I was able to pick up a lot of different things. And then, you know, as I began my studies and just kind of had an aptitude for math and numbers, you know, I tell people I didn't go into, you know, analytic studies with the explicit intent to work with sports. But maybe I'm fooling myself, right? Maybe it was always going to be an inevitable fait accompli, if you will. Because I think once I started hitting, you know, the numbers a little more deeply and then understanding, you know, just opportunities out there, I think it was a natural fit. But I do like to think that that helps me in a sense in my kind of just way to relate to teams, whether it be teams or coaches or taking an approach, is that I definitely do come from a fan slash athlete perspective first, having always been active at sports, and I played club sports in college, and just having a passion for the game. I feel like I've been able to approach it from that standpoint of understanding the ultimate goal at the end of the day and understanding, you know, the emphasis and where you have to keep your focus on and how we can use this data as a tool to help us succeed. And I think that's a theme we'll see come up kind of repetitively here, perhaps in this conversation. And one reason that Matt's been able to be so successful is I think that's a concept he really understands as well, which is that, you know, we use the analytics as a tool, as part of a bigger picture and a program to help improve and optimize the conditions for being successful on the court, rather than using the analytics as a as an endpoint or a solution, right? Or something to map to, something we use to help us map towards the ultimate goal. And I think understanding that concept is key, and definitely something that's helped Furman and Matt specifically be successful.
So let's talk about the data. And one thing that I like to do, somebody coined a phrase and I stole it, called the metrics trifecta, because I think sometimes coaches look at this and they say, oh, you know, you can tell them, oh, we could give you hundreds of metrics. And you're like, well, I don't even understand one. How am I going to track 100 metrics? So the phrase that was coined is the metrics trifecta. And so Matt, let's start with you. You know, over the years, and I know you two have been working together, so you can attack this question together, you know, if you want. But like, what is your, over the years, what have you found? What is your metrics trifecta? Those top three metrics that you would say, you know, you would tell any coach, Division III on up, that this is probably what you want to pay attention to?
Yeah, good question. I would say, you know, first off would probably be the accumulated acceleration load, which is, as strength coaches like to say, just keep it stupid simple, really, sometimes. So basics work really well. That's the one metric we can see on the live tracker with the IMU. So that's something that Coach and I have a great dialogue with, which I think is super important with any technology and any buy-in with the staff, is having, you know, an awareness of what they want, and then providing that for them. So, you know, practice loads, there needs to be one number that we look at that keep it really simple. And that's the number we go to. Hey, have we hit 500 yet? Coach, we're at 400. Play another 2-minute game. Yes, sir. You know, I think that communication piece is really key, and it helps because it's the most simple one. You know, it involves every essentially basketball action you can have. And obviously, as the load goes up, as the time goes on, it should generally get higher. So,
and that's what I want to ask. Yeah, man, I don't mean to interrupt, but yeah. So like, say a novice coach is listening to this and you say, okay, what's our number? Can you kind of explain, okay, you know, to a layman coach who has never seen this before, what would that mean, the load and the number?
Yeah, so, you know, if you think about breaking down the words, accumulated. So as time goes on, that load will essentially go up, and then the acceleration load, accels, decels, jumps, sprints, cuts, changes direction. It's essentially like a one-shot fix-all, like metric where they can look at, where it doesn't break it down into specific things. It's just piling it. You know, here's our load number for the day. And generally, obviously, the longer the session, the higher the load will be. Obviously, if there's a lot of walkthroughs and stuff, that number won't be particularly high. But it really has a good correlation between looking at, you know, 2 days before a game, we want that number to be higher with the set range we have and we've worked out over the years. Day before a game, we want it to be within a certain load range. And then game days, I understand the average, are kind of below average, above average game load. And coach really understands that now. So I feel like it's a very simple number for a coach to grasp and understand. And then I'd probably say the second one related to that, so if you accumulate acceleration load, is the volume. Let's say that volume metric we look at, and then we look at accumulated acceleration load per minute, which is more the intensity metric. And the way we tag the games, you know, we do a really good job tagging the live. It's funny, we talk about using the system. We first had it during COVID, where I'm on the bench and I've got ample space around me, so I can have a seat in front of me, and I can, well, it's the first time I've used this system, why wouldn't I try and tag it in the game? You're able to. And so then that looks at the intensity metric, which again, I think is super important as you go down the layers and the rabbit hole with this, with any data. It's okay, how can you see how intense drills are, how intense a day is 2 days before, how intense a game is? That's the really the intensity metric we look at. And then actually, you know, when Greg came and paid us a visit, we've now started to look at high and very high exertions as being specific game actions players have. And how they trend. Are they trending up? How are they against certain teams? How does that compare to historical data? What's our team average there, our first half, our second half? And that can really give us a good insight into external load, kind of game intensity for the team. So AAL per minute, and then high and very high exertions, I'd say, would be our trifecta.
Greg, are you on board with that?
Couldn't be more so, Dave. Yeah, I love the way Matt broke it down there. He's really exemplifying what we would consider to be the three pillars of tracking at Kinexon, that being load, intensity, or your work rate, and then that high demand, that highest demand piece. I really like the point you made, Dave, kicking it off, talking about, you know, well, it's not about having 100 metrics, right? It's about having the ones that are going to be effective. And we do offer a very fully encompassing metric suite to, you know, tailor to specific areas of need for particular use cases, and particularly in different sports. But at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, an excess of information, right? It's about having a few metrics you can rely on, and each of them having their own purpose, right? So I think Matt laid it out really well there for you. But as he said, you know, the AAL, the accumulated acceleration load, that captures the load piece, right? How much work do we have to do to play this game? The per minute value, that captures the work rate piece, right? So how difficult is the game, right? How demanding is it? So you can imagine, you know, an hour of game time and an hour of practice time, you might get similar loads, right? Or you might get a similar load in practice from going longer, but the work rates would be different based on that game demand. And then bringing in the high and very high exertions to say, how hard physically can this sport get, right? What's the top demand? So I'm ready to have a high load, and I'm ready to work hard over a period of time. Am I ready to hit those explosive movements that'll represent the top end of athleticism required for this discipline? And Matt just gave you a great example of the college basketball use case, one metric that can do each of these things. So it becomes very clear, right? Each metric has a specific purpose. Each metric is giving us a unique piece of information. So we're removing kind of the excess information or fluff, if you will, right? That's just going to confuse things. We have, you know, we can take action for a specific reason for the load, intensity, and exertions piece. And then I'll just add, it also kind of naturally plays into a hierarchy of who and you expose to what at what time, right? So the AAL, that number is so effective because that's one number, right, Matt can give to anyone, whether it be a coach, a training staff member, a player, and we can stop the conversation there, right? And we have a sense of, okay, how much was today, right? Kind of similarly to any job. If someone said, well, hey, how much time did that task take you? And if I say 1 hour versus 3 hours, someone has a sense of that difficulty for me, without having to go into the weeds of why technically something happened, right, would be for anyone's work. So, you know, it really, metrics feed naturally off each other in the sense that we can stop the conversation there. Or if there's a different use case, we can say, okay, well, here was the load, but the intensity was off today, looking at that per minute, then going to the exertions, right? It kind of follows that path as well.
And you can see how it's kind of a natural flow, the data providing the insights, because, you know, they're almost married together. But Matt, going back to you, as far as the insights are concerned, now I heard you talk about, you know, the hamstring and how important it is to preventing injuries in basketball. I'm just curious, you know, and if it all ties together, you know, I'm hoping it does. But has the data strengthened your thought on that, the hamstring and preventing injuries, or preventing injuries in general?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point about hamstrings. You know, I would say this, we're fortunate at Furman to have kind of three people behind the scenes here, and I'll just name them real quick. Justin Chapman, my assistant, Caleb Rickard, who's one of our student managers, who was a math major. And then we've got Jarrett Petres, who's kind of an external source who's been working on an AMS for us. And with that AMS, we're kind of looking at, we've got a lot of our Connexon data in there. And we'll look at kind of acute chronic workload ratios, as well as kind of intensities of how we start and, you know, second halves and first halves. But also we're looking at kind of percentage of max speed. And, you know, the IMU compared to the LPS isn't as accurate. We know that. But for us, like, we still want to use that. I still want to use that as a metric to kind of see, okay, are my guys hitting a max speed on that Monday session? And are they hitting it in the game? Because obviously it's a quality. If you don't train it, you lose it. And obviously you want to expose yourself to as high max speed as you can to keep them quick, to keep them fast going into February and going into March. So, you know, with the hamstring kind of injury rates, you know, we try on a Mondays to really hit a top speed, max speed kind of rep at the end of the warm-up. So after I've got them warm, it might be a half court, which I know is kind of like getting to three quarters max speed. But, you know, in practice, maybe a 5 or 0, we'll try and get them to that max speed. And then I can look at that on the Power BI that Jarrett's created and see if that pairs up well. Because I think that's something that's very protective over the course of a 5 month season. I'm not going to do it in the weight room with them, but on the court, obviously, they're hopefully going to get to a high speed in a game. We have to make sure we hit that in practice. So, yeah, that metric has definitely been, if you said, what's the latest one I'm kind of deep diving on or having a look at? I do look at max speed, yes, and then practice and in games to see, is it trending up? Is it trending down? What do we see positionally with that metric?
And you don't have to name names, but I mean, are there examples that pop into your head? You're like, man, there's, you know, he would have never made it back as fast as he did if it wasn't for the data and the insights that we had, or example, or we wouldn't have been able to make the run like we did at the end of the year last year if it wasn't for the, you know, like I said, you don't have to name names, but do you have examples of that in your head?
Yeah, I would say, you know, one that sticks out a couple of years ago, we had an athlete came into us and he hurt his wrist. Well, he can still run. He can't necessarily shoot the ball. He can still run. So we have, you know, practice court and then game court. And he would be doing all sorts of different exertions with me, jumps, sprints, slides, you know, some endurance stuff. And the beauty of the system was, and this was probably the second year we had the system, was he would keep coming over to the laptop to check the AAL because he wanted to be first every day. Because he'd been a transfer for us. He'd been a high level Division II player who was essentially going to be a starter for us. So he knew he needed to get in shape. He was extremely self-motivated. Intrinsic motivation was sky high. I barely had to like push this guy, you know, hey, you got to go. He would just keep checking in. Oh, okay, I'm second. Let me do a bit more. Hey, I'm first again. And so you can use it as and again, talking about that one number, very simple. Where are they at? Oh, okay, I'm going to beat them. So then when his wrist was healed and he got back into practice, he essentially had the load aspect and the intensity aspect, which I was able to kind of help him with some heart rate stuff as well, but kind of the exertion piece. And we felt like he was ready to play. And I think he started every game for us. I don't think he missed the game through injury. And there's multi-factor reasons for that. But it was pretty cool to see that. Like, he was just using the number. Okay, let me, okay, I think I'm good now. Yeah, I think you're good too. You don't overdo it. But that was a really good case study of using data to kind of inform his decision-making, really, and his mindset to keep pushing. It was fun.
That's a great example. And Greg, from your perspective, you know, the insights that we collect, and you touched on a little bit, right? But is there, you know, what's your biggest takeaway from the insights that you have seen as the data comes in over the years?
Yeah, I mean, I like Matt's example there. I think it shows the two sides of the system, right? One from a motivational perspective, giving an opportunity for a player to stay involved and continue to be part of the team, right? And be motivated to be in that setting. And then the second, just being from a more practical standpoint, making sure he's ready to play, right? You know, it's very easy to say, okay, someone's out with a wrist. We're going to try to keep him fit until so that he's at, you know, approaching game level when he comes back. Well, what does that mean, right? You know, he's off on the side doing some work with Matt, right? They're working one-on-one. Is he doing 50% of what the guys are doing in practice? Is he doing 75%? Is he doing more, right? Is he getting the loads but never reaching the highest exertions required for a game, but the guys are? Because the last thing you want is to say, well, he's practiced for 20 hours, you know, running and doing all the slides and all that, just like the guys on the court have. But we don't realize he hasn't done any of the highest exertions in that time because it was more rehabilitation based, right? If that's the case, we got to get him that work before he's ready to go in the game, for example. And I just think use cases like that really allow players, especially coming back from an injury, to be best prepared when they do have to take the floor, and they can do so as quick as possible. And in addition, you know, some other insights, Dave, you ask. I think it's just really been seeing the different parts of the physical preparation that have needed to be tailored to, right, based on those different kind of metrics. So we've seen some really interesting use cases with the load, for example, where teams, you know, they have a sense of what a game load is and how they can hit that in practice. But what we've seen is players not prepared to have cumulative loads over an extended period of time, right? So they're prepared to play in a single game and hit that highest load. But what happens if they have to do that four games in a row, right? What does that week look like? So, you know, there's been some really interesting insights there when you're trying to pick out certain things of a performance and you say, well, he had a really high load that game. You know, you're going back through the season. Well, he's done that a few times or he's done that in practice. Then you say, wait a minute, here are four of those in a row. This was actually the fourth in a row of a high load. And then you look back, well, that's never happened, right? We've never seen that stretch of practice or game combination until this point. So you start to consider a cumulative effect, right? That you know, we see insights like that. We certainly see insights from the high exertion piece, which is why, you know, I really think Matt's taken it to the next level in the last 2 years, adding that component in, because that's probably the most common insight we'll see is, okay, your load's there. You're even kind of working at game rate, but you're simply just not hitting the 20, you know, highest exertions that you would in a game. So reaching that extra level, that highest demand rate, is going to take something out of you, not to mention probably place you at a higher risk of injury than just, you know, more run-of-the-mill activity if you don't have that specific preparation.
And you can see how, you know, we see how the data leads to the insights, and then the insights and the actions are so closely related. Now let's talk about the actions. And Matt, going back to you now, one of the things that I saw this video of your players doing what are called depth jumps. And folks, you're used to seeing the box jumps. Like, I've seen Myles Garrett do a box jump from six feet. But this is the opposite. And I guess my question to you is, did the depth jumps come from things you have learned over the years with the data and the insights that you have collected? Is this one of the actions that has come out of it? And what is the point of it?
Yeah, I think, you know, deceleration is a huge kind of topic with basketball. Damian Harp has done some great stuff in the UK about it. Sportsmith have shared some really good stuff and articles on that. And it's really, you know, essentially the game is all about braking as well as propulsive force. We all think about accelerations as being key, but actually the ability to decelerate if you're sprinting down the court and you're able to stop on a dime and go up for that shot, that's just key. So, you know, it kind of led to looking at kind of some of the metrics with that, but also just my eyes, just seeing how a deceleration effect of the game was just skyrocketing. You know, the NBA is becoming essentially positionless. Everyone has to be essentially what our player last year, Jalen Slauson, is 6'7", 220, able to move, able to sprint, able to dunk, able to do everything. And his ability to decelerate was just the best I've ever seen. And so that kind of led me to that. And, you know, the drop lands from, we got up to 66 inches, I think. I won't go any higher. I might try it with my red shirts, but the guys get a little bit scared of the heights. But just that high braking force, time to stabilization piece, we use that again on like our Monday session. So they're able to get like a high force component, high braking force, max speed component on that Monday coming off the day off. Essentially, that's our biggest training day, because every other training day other than that is essentially after a game or day before a game. And so this is the only one where it's 2 days before. So that's kind of been, you know, we talk about the data and the action, the insights. It's, you know, how can we use, you know, Connexon as well as other technology pieces we have to kind of just form the most holistic S&C program we can. Strength coaches spin many, many plates. The strength side of it, obviously, you got to be good at that. The conditioning, the recovery, the preparation, the psychology, the nutrition, the mindset, the relationships, the communication with coaches, Obviously, the game day itself and how you can impact that. Recruitment, you know, there's so many different pieces. So we just try and be a little bit dangerous at everything and hope that it all adds up to make a big effect, you know?
Yeah. And Greg, would you say, so the actions that are taken, like the depth jumps, that's an example of an action that's taken in the weight room, you know, under extreme supervision. And of course, you know, the information that that's provided by the data. But Greg, this isn't just about, you know, what happens in the weight room. This also is all about the actions that you can take on the court as well, whether in practice or in a game.
100%, Dave. And I think that's a really important piece of this is, how do we bridge the gap from having this discussion here to having a tangible effect and improvement on the product on the floor? And that kind of circles back to the original theme of I started with of understanding where this fits into the bigger picture, right? Understanding that this system is a tool to assist, right? And understanding that this tracking, performance tracking is used to gain, you know, some particular insights we can to make small adjustments that are just going to help us optimize the probability of the athletes playing as well as they can under optimal conditions and subsequently winning. We do have some tools we like to help you with at Kinexon. We really like to try to break things down by drill so you can understand the difficulty of each drill from a performance perspective. So you can give that feedback to a coach, and if they are looking for, you know, lower or medium or more difficult practices from a physicals perspective, you can be more specific when say, you know, what drills we think will get us there. But yeah, that's part of the reason why it's been such a pleasure to follow Matt's journey and the Furman University journey to see how they've had, you know, taken those actions, because Matt has done such a good job of, you know, working so diligently and thoroughly behind the scenes to collect the data, but then phrasing that into something where, you know, the coaches, they buy in and the coaches are on the same page, and then it can be used to affect, you know, how they're preparing. And the example that comes to mind for me is, you know, Matt, I remember we go back to year one, we were spending, you know, so much of the focus was just on data collection, right? We were just collecting data, getting a baseline. And then as we journeyed through those first 2 years together, we picked out that one really key period of play where the practice load demands were getting really high before the conference tournament. And so that was somewhere, you know, I'll let Matt speak to a little more, but that was somewhere where Matt was able to take action, right? And approach the staff and say, hey, you know, we had a great season, performed at a high level. Look at how this trajectory of loads went, right? Where we actually peaked with our highest practice loads right before a conference tournament situation. What action can we take from that? Well, in subsequent years, right, we can oscillate the season more and shift those higher loads a little earlier in the calendar so we get exposure to them. And then we allow the guys to recover and stabilize a little before peaking again in that conference tournament and beyond, which you led with Dave, the incredible and unforgettable win against Virginia in the tournament last year. So that's always a great example for me of how the action comes in.
That's awesome. And, you know, as we kind of round third and head home here, I'm just wondering, and I can't wait to hear the answers from each of you, since you've been working together so long and you've kind of grown, you know, with the data over the years, is there anything that's still missing? Whether it's from the technology side or maybe the metric side. And coach, we'll start with you. Is there anything that some days you come in and you go, boy, I really would like to know that?
Yeah, I think it's a really, really great question. And I think the answer is probably in us attempting to get the LPS at some point so we can really get the most accurate metrics.
And what are you using? You're using IMU right now, correct?
Yeah. So then we can essentially, you know, really look at, you can overlay almost the film, right? Because I think that's the, how can you overlay coach's eyes, the film, so the subjective, what you're seeing with the quantitative, right? The numbers, the data. And if they hit, you know, a max speed, well, what action in the game was that max speed? Was it a game-defining play? That's great for a player to know that. Man, it was a tip, it was a steer, it was a breakaway dunk, and we won the game off that, and you hit max speed. You know, like all the training led up to that moment. You know, how can we overlay those two pieces together? I think that would be kind of the biggest future project for us. And, you know, really, it's just been an incredible, we've done this, like, say, for 4 years. And I just say, you know, I can't, you know, thank Greg enough for the back and forth we've had. And I would just encourage this for coaches as well, if you're listening, if it's year one or if it's year two, three, four, whatever. But, you know, like, be proactive with it. I think this is where the industry is going, is being more technology based. My job is a strength and conditioning coach or head of performance. But, you know, that really, like I said, you spin many plates. You know, don't be stuck in the weight room. Like, really use that technology piece, because really, you know, you mentioned the wins and losses. Like, I don't contribute to that in a big way, but everyone on the staff contributes to it in their own way. And I'm lucky I have a coach that really loves data himself with all the basketball analytics. Well, it makes sense. I should probably give him some analytics and data from my side of things, performance after a game, win or lose, looking at effort, looking at how we start. Because, you know, when I hear that in pregame talks, when I hear that in, you know, post-game stuff, or he's talking to the team in film, he's showing them certain parts of data, like, that's very rewarding. And I would say to Greg's point about that kind of week before the tournament a few years ago, like, I was just ready. I was ready with some data to present to him. And he kind of approached me. We were in an away game the week before the tournament. He said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And I said, coach, let me show you something real quick. And I showed him some data that Greg had beautifully visualized for us. And he was like, that's all he needed. He was like, yep, so we're doing that. And we've done that the last few years, that plan worked really well for us. So I think it's just, you know, I have a saying, I think it's just probably just, it's when I'm at work, I work, and there's a lot of things you have going on. But what's really important, and I think this has been really important for us, so why not try and be really good at it and keep learning about it? And last thing I'd say with Greg is, you know, the NBA insight I'm able to kind of hear and pick his brains on. It's really important. It's important for some of my players that want to play in the NBA. It's important for my head coach to hear that. So that relationship piece is absolutely two ways. And I love everything about it. And we're going to continue to try and keep pushing the envelope. I'm excited for the stuff that, you know, Greg will be kind of talking about soon, I'm sure, with the new IMU features. And to be on the, to be able to hear that kind of, you know, early is just awesome for me. And it's great for Furman. So everyone wins in this situation.
Or hopefully we can get Greg to stop blushing long enough to add to that. So Greg, is there, again, what do you think? Is there anything still missing, or is there just something that you want to add to what Matt just shared?
I was going to say, Dave, I thought this was going to be the one call of the day where I didn't have to talk about what we needed to do with the product, you know, just what it already did. You know,
sorry.
That's the rest of, that's my next 8 hours. Okay. But no, you're absolutely right. We still feel like we're in our infancy here, right? We have a long way to run. I see a lot of features and capabilities that I hope we can add all the time, that we're always focusing on. I think Matt hit on some of them nicely. I'd say the number one thing that stands out to me with the IMU system, particularly for the college game, is gaining reliable in-game estimates, right? So when it comes to NBA data, we have standardized game clock running only data sets over a decade now. So we have a very thorough understanding of what the demands are of NBA basketball. It's been a big challenge for us to match that in college with an IMU system that's more just running on an ongoing basis throughout a game, without having that game clock present. Matt has done an incredible job, as well as anyone could possibly do, of going in and breaking down that footage, splicing the game up, and gaining those in-game estimates. And I think that's been a huge component of what they've been able to do at Furman. And it's been just incredible to watch him work like that with that thoroughness. It's totally revolutionized the product in a way, in the IMU space, what he's done. So along those lines, we are focused on introducing a game clock feature to the IMU product that will allow coaches to have more control over kind of starting and stopping the session in a more fluid way to understand exactly what the game demands are. So that's a huge point of focus. We're excited to release that, you know, very shortly for next season, but we will have some room to run there, right? It's by no means going to be a completed feature. We want to get those game requirements as clear as possible, because at the end of the day, that's the number one application of the system, right? Use training time where you have flexibility and control to prepare for the game, to be prepared for what you need to do in competitive play. Well, you can only do that if you understand very thoroughly what the demands of competitive play are. So we are pushing to make improvements to allow our college market to do that better in this space. I definitely, you know, Matt mentioned some of the visualization work we were able to do and some of the reporting to not only help him, but to help circling back to the earlier theme, right? How do we actually bring this into the coaching sphere and have actionable insights? I think we can make some improvements there on just how we can present the data and how we can put it in a workable format to, again, take it out of this conversation only and put it onto the court. And then I think Matt also made a great point about some of those tactical situations, right? When you go certain directions off of certain sets, what are the different physical demands of that? And again, it's not for saying, okay, if we go from, you know, three exertions in that set to four, we're going to score the ball. It's not that. But it's understanding, hey, what sets do we run on both sides of the floor, right? That put us and our opponents in certain positions. And then we train optimally for those, and we just gives us a more holistic understanding of the game. And whenever we can tie in the tactical piece to that, that's huge. So there's a long rabbit hole to go down for sure, and we're continuing to try to bring the features to try to accomplish the main primary, you know, goals of the system.
I call that job security, Greg. That's what I call that. Hey guys, if somebody hears this and wants to reach out to you with questions, coach, you first. What's an easy way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, email is probably good. I'm pretty active on social media. I'm sure you guys will kind of at me on the social media channel. One thing I did want to say, just to Greg's point there and to your last question there, Dave, was I think the $1 million question, and maybe it's unanswerable, but we're working towards that, is how you can prove how hard a player is working in the game. Mm-hmm. And I think with the shot clock there, with the game clock, sorry, with how we tag the phase, AAL per minute high, very high, I think we are getting a lot closer to that. That's been definitely a challenge we've been looking at deep diving into, is how you can show game effort. Now there's a tactical demand to that. Are they high pressing? Is there slow offense? Are they in slow in defense? Is it a fast transition game? Is it a 70 possession game? There's all those things that is someone being double teamed, so it's slowing him down. Is that why the exertion? There's all those other questions, but really, how can we objectively assess how hard a player's working from an external low point of view? That is where I think we are continuing to keep trying to answer together, really. And that's the beauty of this, is keep going back and forth with answers to that. So if anyone's got a good insight into that, please hit me up. I want to know that. And let's kind of collaborate on how we can get to that. But yeah, you know, social media, email, LinkedIn, whatever, Dave, I'm an open book.
You go viral all the time. Greg, what about you?
Yeah, open book here as well. You know, I keep a low profile on social media. You know, I try to stay out of the fracas. You know, I'll leave that to the good looking, charming guys like Matt here. But yeah, now email, and you know, the cell phone as well. You know, it's always good to just have a conversation, right? So the line's always open, text or call. You know, Matt and I have. You know, well, we started our relationship like that, right? Where it was just, you know, we were able to connect and have just conversations, which is always more helpful than writing things back and forth. And that's developed into not only a great professional relationship, but also a friendship as well, which is tremendous. And yeah, just, you know, this, you know, we're just scratching the surface, right? We could say on the air here for hours talking about all this different specific use cases. But you know, just big credit to Matt for being an expert user and a dedicated user of the product. And I think everything he talked about today, he's really gotten out of the product by that time he's put in, you know. So where it just had to start with data collection in the beginning, every year has been better and better, to put it short, right? And I think he's just done such a great job on keeping to tie that theme all together, keeping that focus on what's the impact we can have with the performance tracking, right? Where does this play a role? Whether it be identifying which period of the season has the highest lows, whether it be comparing the game exertions to the practice exertions, right? Where does that, you know, whether it be comparing the hardest drills, where does that system have an effect? And so if there's any coach out there, I think, looking to understand how to use their data better and how to leverage it within the confines specifically of a collegiate program, I couldn't think of anyone who's been a better user, a more successful user, and someone they'd be better off having a conversation with than Matt here. And I certainly, I know I've learned as much from him over the years, if not more, than he might have learned from me. So big credit there. And just excited to see what's next. We're going to keep it rolling.
Well, in addition to that depth jump video that's on Matt's Instagram, there's also a great video of Greg and Matt kind of collaborating on the data with Furman head basketball coach Bob Ritchie. And it's on the Connexon Sports website. But if you just Google Matt Aldred, Connexon Sports, or, you know, or something along those lines, you'll find it. But it's just it kind of takes you behind the scenes of the conversations that happen with strength coaches or directors of performance, you know, and then you throw in the scientist, you know, going to the coach and kind of breaking it down and explaining it to him. So guys, this has been extremely enlightening and everything that I had hoped it would be. I can't thank you enough for coming on the Extra Edge podcast today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
And again, remember, folks, if you know a coach who's doing great things, winning games and doing it with sports data and analytics, we would love to hear about them. We may even ask them to be a guest on a future podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Connexon Sports, or look for us on LinkedIn at Connexon Sports and Media. Remember, we want you to innovate the game by collecting the data, getting those insights, and turning those insights into action. We'll see you next time.